totally wonderful. So when they went to the tomb, the stone was already rolled away. And looking inside, they said, "He is risen." And today, all of Christianity is saying, "He is risen." This statement forms the heart and the soul of the Christian tradition. And thousands of people are sitting in churches all across the world today, smiling and saying those same words, "He is risen." And each person says them with a different meaning for themselves. When Unity says, "He is risen," what does it mean for our lives? Well, Unity minister and author Donald Curtis, in his book, The Way of the Christ, writes this: "Easter is not so much the celebration of the rising of a man from the dead as it is a recognition that the Christ self is always bursting forth from the tomb. The Christ is always rising out of the limitation, the ignorance, and the apparent darkness of life." What I believe Unity means is that the resurrection of the Christ is not only Jesus' story, it can be our story too. If we are willing to truly know ourselves as spiritual beings and to understand that we share that resurrection within us. When we arise from the tomb, within our own personal consciousness, we rise into the light. Now, I did not always believe this idea. In fact, my concept and my relationship to Easter has changed and evolved over my entire lifetime. When I was a young child, a preacher's kid in the family of a Disciples of Christ minister, Easter for me was all about new shoes and a new suit and dying Easter eggs. And then as I got a little older and was able to grasp more complex concepts in my mind, I totally bought in to the story and the paradigm of Jesus dying on the cross for my sins and then rising, proving he was a divine Son of God. My salvation view, if you will, of Easter revolved around that story and around a distant God who looked down upon the human activities of the world from a far distance and didn't have much to do with it except to judge whether we were good enough or not. So, a little later, as I became a young adult and became exposed to a wider perspective of religious thought, I dropped my connection with the Easter story. I regarded it instead as a myth created by the early church to explain their perspective of God and why they did what they did. I left my Christian roots, and I worshiped and stepped into connecting with the feminine aspect of the godhood in Wicca's worship of the goddess, with her many names and her many aspects and many faces. And I became exposed to meditation through TM. And I did a lot of different stuff. But my path led me in full circle, as later in life I had a young family with young child that brought me back to the need of a spiritual community, and I ended up in a Unity church. Now, when I did that, I had to forge a whole new relationship with the Easter story. And I was in this paradigm of salvation myth. And trying to figure out how Unity approached that. And I discovered that Unity had a really different and unique approach and connection and relationship with the Bible and the stories and the events in there. Unity does not read the Bible to find literal historical truth. Unity reads the Bible in part to find a moral teaching, but mostly to ask ourselves, how is this my story? How is this character? How is this event? How is this paradigm part of my own experience, part of my own inner makeup, part of my consciousness? So we totally get that these writings are from different people, from different places, different cultures over more than 1,000 years, and that these writings in the Bible are lenses through which we can look to see how they related and understood God. And we are invited to find how we connect and relate and understand ourselves. So, with Unity's metaphysical approach, I could hear a whole new Easter story. It was no longer important whether or not it was historically accurate, or if it was a myth that told a deep spiritual truth. The story of death and resurrection could be my story today. Now, I am sure we have all had experiences in our lives that felt like crucifixion. And we have all been in that void, in that darkness that we can call the tomb. Sometimes that's a dark night of the soul. Sometimes it's just the depths of despair. But I imagine that every one of us sitting here today can think of such a time in our lives. Yet we are promised in this story of resurrection that we can step out of that darkness into the light. So Unity helped me find a whole new way of connecting with the Easter story, a way to see it as a story of my own resurrection. And in that process, God is no longer distant, but God is an presence inside me that can connect and guide and sustain me through any trial, out of the darkness and into the light. And this paradigm worked for about 20 years in my life very well. And I've always been a person who wants to know how things work at a really deep level. So about 15 years ago, I once again picked up a spiritual practice that I had tried off and on for years, and this time it fit. And so I want to turn to my personal spiritual work, The Course in Miracles, and I want to share with you a deeper understanding of Easter that I have been invited into. The Course, for many of us, we accept as being authored by Jesus. And so when it talks about the experiences of that lifetime, we pay special attention to what lies underneath those words. And out of the text, the Course says that the resurrection demonstrated that nothing can destroy truth. Let me say that again. The resurrection demonstrated that nothing can destroy truth. What a profound thought. It went on to say that good can withstand any form of evil as light abolishes the forms of darkness. Have we not been in a dark room and not been able to find our way, and yet lit a candle or flipped a switch and the light comes on and instantly the dark is gone? Instantly, there is no dark when there is light. In a section called the Manual for Teachers, the Course says that the resurrection is the overcoming of death. It is the reawakening or a rebirth, a change of mind about the meaning of the world. A change of mind about the meaning of the world. love is no longer feared but gladly welcomed. Idols have disappeared and the remembrance of God shines unimpeded across the world. Christ's face is seen in every living thing and nothing is held in darkness. What a wonder thing to think about. To be able to walk down the street, to see a human being that you may have never, ever seen before, and know that was the face of a Christ. That was the spiritual work of Mother Teresa. That in every beggar, every person that she served, she did not serve someone in want, not serve someone in need. She served someone who was the Christ. And in the workbook, the thought comes, you are as God created you, not what you have made of yourself. Whatever evil you may think you did, you are as God created you. Whatever mistakes you made, the truth about you is unchanged. You are and will forever be exactly as you were created. Light and joy and peace abide in you because God put them there. Light and joy and peace abide in you because God put them there. That is what you are. I believe that Jesus knew this at such a fundamental level that this was the true message of the resurrection and of his life. And we are asked to remember it. So when you find yourself doing the same thing over and over and over without getting what you want, when you are in that dark night within your soul, when you can find no light in the world, when your spiritual transformation seems stuck, these are the times to look within, to that inner resurrection, to that Christ bursting forth from the tomb of unlimited consciousness, into the light of our spiritual oneness with God. Jesus had such a firm grasp on that truth, the truth that he was a spiritual being, not a body walking around, but a divine spiritual being created by God in the image and the likeness of God, that he could not believe in being in a tomb, whether it was a physical tomb or a mental tomb in the construct of thought. He knew that his reality was as a spiritual being was one with God. That's why God was for him Father. That was the light in him. And that is the same light in you. That is the light that takes us, each of us, out of the tomb into the light of a resurrection. Now, we human beings step into the light in large and small ways. And when I was thinking about this talk, I was reminded of a story told by Robert Fulghum in his book, It Was on Fire When I Laid Down on It. And I want... and it's true, it was. And I want to share a story that he shares in that book because I think it is such a truth about how we do this in countless ways, we human beings. Robert Fulghum enjoyed asking anyone and everyone if they knew the meaning of life. And he would do this at all times and sometimes very inopportune times. And one time he was attending a seminar on the island of Crete on Greek culture. And it was held at an institute there that had been founded by Dr. Alexeion Papadopoulos, who had been a child in World War II and suffered under the Germans on that island and became a Greek citizen and lived in Athens, but founded this institute as an institute to bring peace and healing to humankind, and especially between the people of Crete and Germany, because of the history of conflict and hardship during the war. So he was at a two-week seminar there. And at the end of the last morning, he tells this story. At the last session of the last morning of the two-week seminar, Dr. Alexander Papadreos rose from his chair at the back of the room, walked to the front, where he stood in the bright Greek sunlight, looking out an open window, gazing across the bay at an iron cross which marked the German cemetery there. And then he turns and he asks, "Are there any questions?" Quiet filled the room, for these 2 weeks had generated enough questions for a lifetime, but for now there was only silence. "No questions?" "So I ask," says Robert. "Dr. Papandreou, what is the meaning of life?" The usual laughter follows out of the crowd, and people stirred to get up to go. But Papadreos raised his hand, and he looked at Robert Fulgrim with that intent questioning in his eyes that says, "Are you serious?" And seeing that he was, he says, "I will answer your question." And taking his wallet out of his hip pocket, he fished into a leather billfold and brought out a very small round mirror about the size of a quarter. And what he said went like this. "When I was a small child during the war, we were very poor, and we lived in a remote village. And one day on the road, I found the broken pieces of a mirror where a German motorcycle had been wrecked. And I tried to find all the pieces and put the mirror back together, but I could not. And so I kept the largest piece, this one. And by scratching it on a stone, I made it round. And I began to play with it as a toy and became fascinated by the fact that I could reflect light into dark places where the sun could never get, into deep holes and into crevices and dark closets. And it became a game for me to get the light into the most inaccessible places that I could find. I kept the little mirror as I went about growing up, and I would take it out in idle moments and continue the challenge of the game. And then I grew to understand that this was not just a child's game, but a metaphor for what I might do with my life. I came to understand that light, truth, understanding, knowledge is there, but it will shine only in the dark places if I reflect it. I am a fragment of a mirror whose whole design and whose shape I do not know. Nevertheless, with what I have, I can reflect light into dark places of this world and change some things in some people. This is what I am about. This is the meaning of my life." And then Robert writes that he took that small mirror and, holding it carefully, caught the bright rays of the daylight streaming through the window and reflected them onto Robert's face and onto his hands laying on the desk in front of him. And he ended the story this way. He says, "Much of what I experienced about Greek culture and history that summer is gone from my memory. But in the wallet of my mind, I carry a small round mirror." Alexander Papandreas, Robert Fulgham, both step into the light in that story. We reflect the light of Spirit from within us. In the little things or in the huge crises of our lives, each time we do, we are creating a new resurrection story in us. Easter is not just once a year. Easter can be every day of our lives if we are willing to remember we are and forever will be exactly as we were created. Light and joy and peace abide in us because God put them there. One with God, I am the light of the world. Amen. It is time that we step into the light. Namaste.